Dr. Corson, just so you know, it is like I said.
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, somebody much wiser than me said a long time ago that these are the times that try men's souls. And boy, if there was ever a time that tried men's souls more than what we see going on around us right now. And remember, if you're a regular viewer, regular member here at Coach Dave Live, although there's no members, that's not the right thing to say. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, evil spirits in high places. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And you know, as I say over and over and over here, if the church would get involved in this mess, there's still an opportunity for us to make a difference. If the church chooses to not get involved, then those of us who are little SWAT teams of Christians all across America, then we have to be the guys that are going to storm the gates and go in. And I use the illustration, and we went into Desert Storm. We started out by what? They sent in the bombers, right? They bombed everybody over the top, and that would be the prayer force, right? You pray, soften up the ground, and then you're able to take the territory back. So we're heading into a unique phase here this week with the Democratic National Convention. Now, let me make something really, really clear to you, because I got a lot of emails even this morning about it. Hey, folks, listen, I do not trust the Republican Party any farther than I can throw them. I don't trust them either. In my opinion, they're two wings of the same bird, and it's them against us. Now, we have to decide at this point, we're not going to get a third party candidate. We're not going to have all of a sudden Billy Graham fly in and be president of the United States. We're not going to find some. In fact, Robert F. Kennedy hasn't even been able to get any traction anymore. So, because it's so controlled in Washington, D.C., that we're going to have to make a decision what we're going to do. We got to pick one side or the other. You say, well, Coach, I'm not going to vote for either one of them. They're both evil. I understand that. But one of those is going to be president. One of them is going to be president. And so we have to decide as we look at it. We're in a mess, folks. We're in a mess. So we have Dr. Jerome Corsi. I'm going to bring in here in just a second. Dr. Corsi, I was able to connect with him over the weekend, and he's got some really, really information on how rigged the elections are through a process of algorithms, which we'll get to here in a second. But before we do that, we are going to do, as we do, our united prayer against the DNC agenda. Now, friends, listen, the DNC agenda sometimes is the RNC agenda. We are not Republican Central here, okay? We understand that it's a two-card Monty, and it's them against us. But we got to pick a team. A lot of times it's what life is all about, man. Choosing a side, picking. Sometimes it doesn't smell good. It's not what you want. But I would say this: if we allow Kamala Harris and that other guy to be in the White House, we are slip sliding away into deeper, deeper communism. That's the way I view it. You don't have to view it that way. But we're going to dive into some of this today with Dr. Corsi. But what I would like to do, I'd like somebody right now to get out. I'm looking, if you could for me, Mr. Spencer. We're going to pray against what's going on in D.C. And I want somebody to get ready to read Psalm 9. Now, last night, I forgot to tell you this. Friends, we started last night a 30-minute prayer call at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We did it last night, and we're going to do it again tonight, 30-minute prayer gathering all across America, where two or more are gathered, he's in the midst, right? We know that. And where two or more agree is touching any one thing, it's going to be done. And we're going to pray down the forces of darkness all over America. All right. So who's going to volunteer right now? We're going to throw up Psalm 9 up on the screen. Who's going to read Psalm 9 for us this morning? Come on. Somebody says, I got it, Coach.
I got it, Coach.
All right. You got it, Gail. Let's throw Psalm 9 up there for us. Here it is, folks. And again, remember, the Bible says that two or more gather. When she's reading this, here's what I'm going to do. I'm constantly saying amen. Like, for instance, as she says this, I will praise, O Lord. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I say amen. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I say amen. But I don't want you guys to be interrupting saying amen, but just in your spirit, with your spirit, as she reads these things and you agree with it, say amen, amen. Because again, that power of agreement. Okay, so we're going to start out with Psalm 91. Gail, we thank you for doing that. And I'm going to mute so I'm not screaming amen at you all the time. So Gail, come on in.
Psalm 9 or 91?
Psalm 9.
Okay, 91's up from 9. He just switched to 91 on the screen.
Yeah, it needs to be Psalm 9.
You're muted, Coach.
Back to 9. Back to...
You're muted, Coach.
Mr. Producer, you need
John,
to
John, that is Psalm
9.
91 on the screen. We need Psalm 9. I'm sorry, I did mute myself there. All right, here we go. Gail, okay, you're up. Go for it. Go for it.
I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they will fall and perish at thy presence. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou satest in the throne judging right.
Amen.
Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever.
Amen.
O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end.
Amen.
And thou hast destroyed cities.
Amen.
Their memorial is perished with them.
Amen.
But the Lord shall endure forever.
Amen.
He has prepared his throne for judgment.
He has. Amen.
And he shall judge the world in righteousness.
Thank you, Lord.
He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness.
Amen.
The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed.
Amen.
A refuge in times of trouble.
Amen.
And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee.
Amen. For That's me.
Lord, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek
Amen.
Thee.
Amen.
Sing praises to the Lord, which dwelleth in Zion.
Amen.
Declare among the people his doings.
Amen.
When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them.
He does. Amen.
He forgetteth not the cry of the humble.
Oh, help us, Lord.
Have mercy upon me, Lord. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Consider our troubles, which I suffer of them that hate me. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death.
Thank you, Lord.
That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they
Amen.
Made.
Amen. Yes.
In the net which they hid in their own foot. Is
yes,
their own
let
foot
them be
hid.
Caught in the Lord.
The Lord is known by the judgment which he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands.
Thank you, Lord.
Gaon, Selah. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that...
Oh, Lord, don't forget us, Lord. Don't let us forget you, Lord.
For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah.
Amen. Amen. They are but men. Lord, you are the King of the kings and the Lord of the lords. We ask you to make yourself known, Lord, on behalf of those who love you and serve you, Lord Jesus. Hey, I want somebody right now, bring up the Mountain Media. Johnny, you know what I'm talking about there? Yeah. Who's going to read that for me this morning? A little bit of audience participation here. Come on.
I can read some.
All right. Go, Betty. Start on it.
As Christ Jesus currently sits on the throne at the right hand of the Father, his body, which is the church of Christ on the earth, is placing all his enemies under his feet. by displacing darkness with the gospel of the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
Media, the means and tools of conveying information through news and entertainment. Declarations over the United Center, Chicago. There is no unity outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen, Betty.
Because we are living witness in due time of the kingdom of God on the earth, and because we have been given his authority to be his ambassadors, we declare the following.
Amen.
We declare that the written and spoken word of God possesses all authority in heaven and on earth.
Amen.
We declare as sons and daughters of the Lord God to have access by the blood of Jesus Christ to the throne of grace and authority that accompanies
it. Amen. Amen.
We declare within the presence of Holy Spirit these following decrees to every media entity.
Whoops, Johnny has flipped us there. There you go. Nope.
I got it right here.
We got it. It's up there.
Got it. Sorry. Whether by publication, broadcast, or internet, to kiss the Son or perish, according to Psalms 2:12. His grace goes to the repentant hearts, but his vengeance upon the rebellious.
Amen.
We declare to you in person, City of Chicago, State of Illinois, that you are now served these decrees.
Cool down, John.
Amen. We decree that Jesus Christ is King over the United States of America, including all its airways, frequencies, and media.
Amen.
We declare the righteous judgment of God be upon every media platform that is undermining the sovereignty of Jesus Christ and the will of God for this nation.
Amen.
Including but not limited to the mainstream media, news and cable news, newspaper and periodicals, television and entertainment channels, owners and stockholders, employees and associates, advertisers and agents, actors and handlers, etc., and all others who are knowingly and or ignorantly complicit with these evil agendas.
Amen.
We decree financial devastation and ruination, especially to the big five mega corporations who own and control 90% of the media. Comcast, owned by GE, Disney, News Corp, Warner Brothers, owned by AT&T, and Paramount Globals.
Amen.
Also upon BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, who own nearly 20% of these five Luciferian systems, and all others who exchange the truth of God for the lie. This decree is prophetic to your end.
Amen.
We decree that all Luciferian media outlets will be publicly uncovered, exposed, and ordered by courts of justice to repay by compensation every single injustice upon humanity.
Amen.
We decree that every whistleblower has the opportunity to be placed under the covering of Christ and by personal repentance become righteous with covenantal protection.
Amen.
We declare to all false journalists, reporters, commentaries, podcasters, etc., who are deliberate or complicit with propaganda, lies, half-truths, slander, deception, fear-mongering, immoral activities, and all other acts of malice, are guilty of felonies and shall be prosecuted to the full extent upon the Constitution.
Amen.
We also deliver such ones over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that their spirits may be saved.
Amen.
We decree from the Holy Spirit a cease and desist order to all persons and groups who are participating with or false covering up a false Zionist mafia, influence and control of news and entertainment mediums. Because God is no respecter of persons or ethnicities, you must fall upon the stone or the stone will grind you to powder.
Amen.
But God will restore his holy land, Zion, and Jerusalem that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It will be under the control and authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, King of kings and Lord of lords. Matthew 21:34. We decree to all government agencies who deceive and lie to we the people that you will eat the fruit of your own evil.
Amen.
Galatians 6:7, your devastation and destruction are imminent. We decree that all the hijacked airways, frequency, and media be loosed into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Romans 8:19-22, they belong to Christ in his kingdom.
Amen.
According to Ephesians 6:20 and 2 Corinthians 4:13, we therefore speak these words of God to the demonic heresy, her hierarchy, who sit in tyrannical rule from the second heaven.
We declare what, Brady? Keep going. You're doing good.
Oh, okay. Your strongholds are now removed.
Amen.
Your financial power sources are being drained.
Amen.
Wealth being transferred to the righteous.
Amen.
Your false prophets of propaganda, lies, and deception are slain by the prophetic word of God.
Amen.
Your blood-filled false altars are being cleansed of all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Your coverings to hide and rule from the shadows are being erased.
Amen.
Righteousness and justice are replacing the empty void, even as we speak.
Yes, amen.
May Holy Spirit be judge and jury as he wills, in real time and in his place.
Amen.
And on this day, August 19th, 2024, these actions are set in motion and undeterred.
Amen.
In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, Prophet, and High Priest. Amen and amen.
Amen. So let it be written. So let it be done. So let it be done. Thanks, folks. Thanks for joining. By the way, 8 o'clock tonight, we're doing a prayer vigil, 30 minutes. Invite all your friends. Let's overwhelm these dark forces that are going on in Chicago. Remember 1968, what was going on? I saw that some upwards of 100,000 not very nice people have shown up in Chicago. So, folks, these are the times that try men's souls. I was honored this weekend to reconnect with Dr. Jerome Corsi. He and I were part of an event with Dr. James David Manning in Harlem, I don't know, 10 years ago, a long time ago. And he was after those Swift boaters. Remember Carrie and all that? But Dr. Corsi was the one that was really at the heart of all that stuff. And he has discovered more election interference. And I'm just going to shut up here for a minute and let him tell it to us about it. Hang on, Dr. Corsi. Craig's got his hand up, so he has something germane to say, or he wouldn't go. Go ahead, Craig.
Just two things, just as we get this thing started here. One is the scriptures are the things that I read when I walked around the United Center. Okay, so as we're doing that today, each day we're reading a separate chapter, and the media thing is what Randy, you know, God put on Randy's heart. But I just want to read this one thing, and this is what's powerful that I think the church has missed. I didn't understand it till, you know, years ago. It's about being of one accord. And I just want to read this really quick from Acts 4. So as we do this, and so this is Acts 4, 33, and it said, or 23, excuse me. And being let go, they went their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that they raised their voice to God with one accord, and that's what we're doing here, and said, Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth, and the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage? Why do the people plot vain things? This is Psalm 2. The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So us praying this in one accord and doing this between your show today and tonight during this week, you can look for God to answer our prayers.
Amen. He's going to answer our prayers. And again, folks, this is not a Republican Democrat thing. This is Psalm 2. Kings of this earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. The battle is a spiritual war against the children of Christ and those who serve the devil. That's what it is. And if you think it's a political issue, then it shows just how much you're missing. So anyway, Dr. Corsi, thanks for getting up, sir. He said he's an easy ride. Early writer, he got a hold of me, started talking about algorithms, and said, my head started spinning because, you know, I was a helmet head, right? Algorithm. Dr. Corsi has stumbled upon some proof that our elections are rigged in another means, in a way that we don't even realize what's going on. So, Dr. Corsi, thanks for joining us. The floor is yours, brother.
Well, thank you. It's a great pleasure and honor to be here. And my signal's kind of wavering a little bit today.
You're doing good here. Yeah. You're doing very good here.
Okay, yes. Let me know. I want to make sure everybody gets what I'm. I'm really pleased to be with you today. Now, what we've found is
I'm praying against the evil agenda of the DNC.
Betty, you need to unmute, Betty.
Children die.
Betty, unmute. Betty Mute, I'm sorry. We heard you. Go ahead, Jared.
What we will find is there's algorithms in the database. And what algorithms are just mathematical formulas. And what we're going to be talking about is coding, this cryptography. In other words, writing codes like the military does. You know, when the military wants to communicate with one another in the field of battle, they don't communicate in English. They communicate in a code because the code can't be read by the enemy. And so therefore, code writing and code breaking have been part of military strategy going back to time immemorial. I mean, there are codes that go back to Caesar. And I'm sure before that, I'm sure there are codes in the Bible that were written to give messages across. Now, the point is that the codes we're finding are in the State Board of Election voter registration databases. In other words, this is at the heart of the center of the whole activity. The Board of Elections, after a law was passed in 2007, control the voter ID numbers across the country. They're all controlled in Ohio, it's in Franklin Rose's office. He's the Secretary of State, and his office controls the Board of Election voter registration database. That's everybody registered to vote. Now, what we found in Ohio, as well as in New York, we first found it in New York, and I'm going to show you some things which demonstrate it. These evil actors, and I'm sure it's the Democrats with their, I think it's an intelligence operation. In other words, I think this is National Security Agency quality, or it's CIA. And what they've done is they've gone into the Ohio database of voters, and they put secret codes in it, which only they can read. Now, the purpose of these secret codes, I'm going to show you, we believe, is to create and hide false voter registrations. False voter registrations are either cloned from existing registrations or they're made up, they're called ghost registrations. They don't really exist. Now, the algorithms are complicated, and code writing and code breaking is not easy, but I think I've got some ways to explain this to you that will at least give you a common sense entry into what's going on. First of all, it's wrong to have any code in the state voter database. The way it should be done right is you come in and register, you get number one in the state, you're voter number one. Come and register next year, voter number two. Okay, voter number three, et cetera. It's a straight line. Okay, if you have a graph and your y-axis, the one on the horizontal, is the date you register, and then your x-axis, which is the dependent variable, which goes up vertically, it should be just a straight line right across the graph, because as your registration date increases, so does your registration, your voter ID number.
So you count, folks, it's steps. Step one, step two, step three. So as they do the votes, the numbers all just go in sequence.
That's legit. That's legit. It isn't the way it is. Okay, the numbers are going to be assigned, so they bear no relationship to when you registered. And that's done on purpose. Okay, now, so let's start out with a couple of concepts here. Number one, the voter registration database ought to be pure. It ought to be sacrosanct. When you come in, you register, you get a number. And that should be straightforward. If you're qualified to vote, you should get a number. Then you've got a voter registration, you can vote. But the way it is you come in and register in the counties generally. By the time it gets to the state, these criminals get a hold of it, and they are rearranging your numbers so that they can create false votes, which they then put back into the database so that only they know where the false votes are. Okay, so it has a couple steps to it. Number one is, it first of all, changes the number systems, creates spaces in which they can put false votes. When those false votes are created, now they resort the deck, like a stacked deck of cards. So you go into a casino playing blackjack, and you think, well, we got a five-card shoe here, this deal in the cards, surely that's got to be honest. Well, it isn't, because they've marked those cards and they're dealing you the ones that are marked. Okay, so they know where the marked cards are. You don't. When you find the marked cards, they look like they are legitimate because they've got legitimate numbers. You can't tell them apart. And you can't even tell the scheme is being used, because only if you know it's being used can you see it. So, Mike, you know, frankly, who I think is actually a good actor, and we've established contact, by the way, with Frank Lee, and he told us on Friday, Frank LaRose, the superintendent of elections. He told us
Secretary
on Friday.
Secretary of State here in Ohio. Secretary of State Frank LaRose. Dr. Kelsey, let me stop you a second, because you told me you don't know if he, you don't think he's crooked. You think he doesn't understand it.
I think he's honest. And in fact, I think he's trying to do a good job. I think he's saying we've got 99% sure that this is, we're all squeaky clean. That's only because he's cleaning up the things that the criminals don't care if he cleans up. They weren't planning on using them. They weren't planning on using duplicate registrations. They weren't planning on using people who died. It's far more sophisticated than that. They've made up the people they're going to use, and you won't find them, and neither will Frank LaRose find them, because he's not trained in cryptography. Okay, so what does it mean to be trained in cryptography? Well, first of all, not many people can do it, so you got to qualify, and generally, people can do it. Our people are very good at recognizing patterns. You know, in World War II, when they wanted to break the German Enigma machine, this machine that had all these rotors, it was impossible to break, they thought, they put crossword puzzles in the British newspapers. People could solve the crossword puzzles, ended up having good skills at code breaking, even though they knew nothing about code breaking. Some of the best code breakers in history turned out to be women. Women with no particular training whatsoever. But they had this ability to see patterns, and they were able to imagine how a pattern could be imposed on a data to change, to transform the data into a code, and then to transform the data out of that code so you could read it. It's very hard to do. And it may take years to break a code. Okay, but in fact, we've had, I think, here some divine intervention, quite frankly, because I'm going to show you in a minute a paper here that was written by a guy named Andrew Paquette. And he cracked the code in New York. He found the code in New York, and he completely deciphered it. So we have one state in which we know exactly how they did this. And that gives us a clue to find the other states like Ohio.
So Dr. Corsi, if I could stop you for a second, because just I'm a helmet head, right? And so I think along the helmet heads. Folks, here's the way that I would envision this thing would happen. They put this secret code inside the computer. Nobody knows it's in there. And it counts the votes and counts the votes. And then every seventh vote or every sixth vote or every eighth ballot, boom, this algorithm's in there. And it brings in some other votes that aren't even in the database. And so when it goes to the point where you want to start counting them, well, it looks like they're actual votes. There they are. But the code is written to bring these fraudulent votes in, and nobody ever sees it. Is that pretty much it, Doc?
Yeah, I'm going to give you a little bit of refinement of that. First of all, a code is, okay, coach, so you've got a football team in the field, and you want to call in a play. Well, you're not going to call in a play and say, you know, this is a quarterback sneak. You're going to call this is CXYZ number of code. And the team knows what that means. Right. The other team's not supposed to know what that play means. That's a code, because you gave your team the signal where they know how to decode that number.
Mm-hmm.
The other team, even if they hear it, don't know what play you're running, because they're not supposed to know your code. And it'd be wrong if they did try to break your code. That'd be violating the rules. They somehow stole your signals. That's not part of the game. The game is you should have your signals, and you know your signals. Now, what they do is they're creating votes that they can use for mail-in votes. This scheme is designed for mail-in. Okay, what they do is they're going to create false votes, and then when they're going to create like 300,000 false votes. They know where they are in the database. And when they need one, they can pull one of those out. Now, you know, 2020, I was watching the elections, and you see all these ballots arriving in the middle of the night. You know, trucks come in with these ballots, and they're being counted. What I couldn't figure out was how the election was certified. Now, a certified election means you take a voter, and you can confirm by that voter's number that they actually voted. Got to match the number in the vote. Okay, so when all these ballots are coming in, so how do they possibly match these numbers?
So I'm like number 800, and they find ballot number 800. We got to match.
You got to match. That certifies. Okay, so I pull out of my stack ballot 800 I know is false, and I request a mail-in ballot on that number. So number ballot 800 mail-in ballot is produced, and it's run through the machine, and the machine says number 800 was voted. So I requested 800, 800 voted. It looks legitimate. It's completely false, but it looks legitimate. And so therefore it gets certified. Okay, now if they have 300,000 of them, they may only need 30,000 of them, but they'll use the 30,000 best, the 30,000 that are cloned so that somebody may have 35 registrations that vary because their middle initial is different or because their address is different. Because they're registered on a different day. But those are just variations that they're changing. When you look at that record, you don't see the other 34. It looks like it's legitimate. You'd have to actually go out to that person and find them. Tony, I'm in a podcast. We'll have to talk later today. Yeah. This is when you'd have to go out and talk to that person and say, did you vote? Is this you? Say, that's not me. You know, that I don't live at this address and or whatever. You'd have to go validate that was made up. But just looking at it, the Board of Election, you wouldn't know. So the people who are running the computers, who are the criminals who designed this code, know where the votes are that they created and hid. And the Board of Election, so Frank LaRose is watching this thing. LaRose is watching this thing. And it looks legit because it's all going the way it should go. He doesn't know that they're voting false votes.
So, Dr. Corsi, in other words, was it a bait and switch with this? They told us the machines are cheating. And really, it was the code that was inside. The machine was just reading this false code that was in there.
That's right. And so first of all, a lot of things people have found are real problems. Like they found in a precinct which more people voted in that precinct than were registered. Well, that's because they voted more fake mail-in ballots in that precinct. But yet it's a problem what they found. That shouldn't ever be the case. There couldn't be more people voting in a precinct than are voting there, that registered there. Or they find that this district, this county, never voted so heavily for Biden. And all the ballots came in at the end for Biden. Well, that shouldn't be either. That's, again, because they voted the algorithm very heavily there. They voted the fake votes. Yeah. Okay, so my PhD at Harvard is in. I've been doing voting day for a live free, but I think I'm coming through, Coach.
You were going there for a while. Now you're back in. Yes.
Turned up, froze up here. I'm back in. It's a little unstable on my end. I don't know why, but we'll just bear with it here. If I freeze, I'll repeat things. Okay, I'm saying that my PhD is in political science, and I am expert on voting. When I was in Cleveland, I was born and raised in Cleveland. I was born on Ardnall Avenue with Shaw and Hayden by Shaw High School over in East Cleveland. And I went to St. Ignatius and I went to Case Western Reserve. When I was Case Western Reserve, I was very young. My professors would take me down to WJW downtown, if you remember old WJW. And I would, they were calling the elections. Well, I was the one who was doing the analytics. So I was there saying, well, okay, this candidate is a Democrat. He needs to get these votes out of these precincts in Cuyahoga County. if he doesn't get him, he's going to lose. Or if he gets more than I calculated he needs, he's going to win. So I started being able to call elections when there were 10, 15% of the vote in, if unless it was close. And I got good at that. So I know voting data. I've been working with voting data most of my adult life. And what these people have done is ingenious. And I'm going to start showing it to you now in a minute. But I want to prepare you that don't expect that you're going to really understand the codes, because I'm going to show you a part that makes it clear that they do it. But it's very complicated to understand code breaking. If it weren't complicated, it wouldn't work. So when Coach has got his football plays going in, you know, each letter in that code may mean something, you know.
Well, Dr. Corsi, it's amazing because here in Ohio country, we accused Michigan of stealing signs. It was a big, big controversy that they had gone to the next level of being able to steal the signs of the Buckeyes or whoever they were playing. And that's how Jim Harbaugh went on this unbelievable winning streak, because they had broken the other team's code. So it's exactly the same thing that we're talking about here, right?
Exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. And it's not right. Teams shouldn't be trying to break each other's codes, because this is sport. It's not warfare, you know, and the same with voting. You shouldn't be putting codes in the database, because you shouldn't be manipulating the votes. It should be straightforward. It should be honest. Put codes in things, you're trying to cheat.
Okay, so Dr. Corsi, I'm a teacher. Big picture, right?
Right.
Can we do anything about that? Let's go there first, Dr. Corsi. Is there anything we can do about it?
We do a lot about it, but let's not get to solutions right away. I tell people, first we got to get uncomfortable before we solve this thing. And you get a lot more uncomfortable with what I'm going to show you in a minute. Okay, so be prepared to be upset here. Right. Can I share my screen?
Should be able to. Johnny, can you do that?
Would you give me permission to share?
Yes. Well, I don't know. It might be easiest, Dr. Corsi, if you send us the link and I get it to him.
How do I send it? Chat?
Just email it to me.
Okay. Can you do that? Yeah, I'll do it right now.
Roger, Dr. Corsi, as you're sending that to me, Roger Weaver has a question. So go ahead and continue to send that to me, and I'll get it to him.
I'm going
to
do it in chat. I think it'll be easier in chat.
Okay.
Dr. Corsi?
Yes, sir.
You give a call to the Secretary of State for the state of Ohio?
Yes, I have.
You ask him, you say, I've got some information I think would be beneficial.
Yes, I have.
They don't respond.
No, he did respond.
Okay. You now go to, you show up at the Secretary of State.
Roger's an attorney, Dr. Corsi. Roger's
at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you say, listen, I'm going to stay here till somebody with some power talks to me.
Yeah.
I'll take the Assistant Secretary of State, but I'd like to talk to somebody. How do they respond to you?
Well, we've actually made more progress than that. I have a friend who's also a friend of Frank LaRosse. And I said to him, you call up Frank LaRosse and tell him that I've come to Ohio. I'm going to stay here until we get a national announcement out of Ohio. There's an algorithm in the Ohio database. But I'm not here to embarrass Frank LaRosse. I'm here to work with him. And so I want to bring him in and show him what we've got.
Now, so it would be like another doctor coming in and say, you've been treating the cancer, but here's what you really need to treat. You're not saying he's been doing it wrong. Here's something else you need to look at.
I'm not accusing him of doing anything wrong.
Gotcha.
I'm not accusing him. I'm saying, in fact, I think he's done a good job. I'm praising him because he's tried. He's done his best to try. And trying, you know, is not easy to do what he's doing, because he's going after discrepancies in the database. Coach, I'm going to send this to you as a...
Just put in the chat, or if you want to there, or send
it
to
me. Chat.
So Dr. Corsi, he will meet with you then, or has met with you.
Well, he said right this week, he's on National Guard duty at Fort Bragg in North Carolina. So he said he's going to assign somebody to his office to meet with us and to find out what we've got. Okay, now that's...
How about Michigan? How's Michigan treating you?
Well, I haven't gone to Michigan yet. So
got it, okay.
I'm just here. I want one. Okay. And I know Ohio. And so, therefore, I'm going to Ohio because I know Ohio. Okay. Yeah. And I know that the algorithm's there. Now, let me give you something else we've done. And that is that we know for a fact, we have the Ohio State data already. We have it in a FOIA request. We've got the data. Okay. And I will be able to bring into his office, Frank LaRosse's office, a paper that explains in detail the algorithm that's in the Ohio database. And I know it's there. I'm going to show it to you today. I know that it is there. So we're not showing him something that we need to find out.
We have the proof.
We have the proof. I sent this to you, Coach. I can't find down here where the chat is on this thing.
Okay, I what you just sent me, I'm sending right now to our web guy.
Okay, that's the one I want shown.
Okay.
Okay, now, we know it's there, and we can prove it's there. We have the ability to show it to him. And what we're doing is we're doing the courtesy of coming in and explaining it to him. And I'm sure they're going to see it because it's unmistakable. Once they see it, I believe he's honest and responsible. I believe he'll do something about it. Okay, now that's an approach I like to take because I don't want to be confrontative. I don't want to damage his career. I want to give him a chance to be a hero and to do the right thing. If he comes out and says, all right, Dr. Corsi's shown us this. We see it's here. Now we're concerned, and we're going to take steps to correct this one way or another. Now he becomes a national hero. And it's not because he's supporting Donald Trump. It's because he's doing the right thing. He's saying, Michigan stole the codes. We know Michigan took the codes. But Michigan's got to suffer a penalty because of that. And we're the NCAA, and we're going to enforce that penalty.
Boom.
Okay, because that's wrong. Mm-hmm. So that's the approach I'm taking in Ohio. And I've also gone and talked to a number of other very top officials in Ohio just to brief them in advance as to what's coming on. And they understand it, and they're agreeing that this should be done. But again, I spent all last week here. I went to town hall meetings. I started connecting. I connected with Coach, and now I'm going to do these podcasts, and I'm going to be explaining it this week to the people of the state through social media. I've got a website. If you take a look at God's Five Stones, that's...
Pull that up, Johnny. Pull up his website. Dr. Corsi, by the way, that link that you send us doesn't really give us anything. So we have it, but it doesn't give anything. Here's his website, godsfivestones.com.
The paper's right on there. The paper's the Andrew Paquette paper. So if you click that, the paper will come up. Okay, there's God's Five Stones.
Scroll on down, Johnny. It should be a thing that says, what does it say, Dr. Corsi?
Go up to the top. And see where it says Andrew Paquette.
Oh, Andrew,
click on that. That's the paper right there. So go down to page. Let me see what page I want. Hold on. I'll tell you what page I want in a minute. I want page. Right. I want page. Page 95. The chart at the top of page 95. And if you put that up and enlarge it, that's what I'm going to talk about. That's that chart right there. Okay, now, this is the paper. It's a very complicated paper, but I'm trying to give you a feel for it. This is how complicated the algorithm is. Okay, now, there we go. Okay, now, this is the heart of the algorithm. If you just take a look at the middle column, it's called a CID. The county ID is now sorted. So the county ID comes into the state in the order of people registered in the county. But the state renumbers them. The state doesn't make them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So if you look here at the 8th registrant, which is number 20,307,396, the 9th is not 397. It's 20,308,507. Which is 1,111 more than the previous number.
And they should be in sequence.
They should be. It should only be incremented by one. It's incremented by 1,111. And that goes all the way. That continues for a while.
So they're inserting 1,111 false votes in there.
Or they have room for 1,111 other votes to be inserted in there.
Okay. Gotcha.
Other votes. that come from other parts of the deck. Because you see, they create new county ID numbers, which the counties don't know. So if you go to the first row over here, first set of three columns, which is the State Board of ID, you can see the State Board of IDs are all in sequence. Every number is used. And then they create a CID number, which is in sequence. Those numbers are false. Those were made up. All these numbers are false. All these numbers are made up.
On the second chart. On the second chart.
On the second, because by adding this 11111. Now, these 111s, if you scroll down that page a little bit, scroll down that page. Okay, right there. These numbers, like 1111, are called a rep unit, the repeat units. And in code breaking, rep units are like 11, 111, 1111. 11,111. They're numbers what you use to resort a database. Okay, and they're a giveaway. Once Andrew Paquette found the numbers were being reordered by these rep units, he knew there was a code. That's a giveaway. Okay, now I explain it this way to common sense. You don't have to show the paper anymore. This is going to be common sense now. We're going to go back to the screen with on the screen. Let's use a common sense example. Everybody has children, and they order their children by the order in which they're born. So my first child is born as number one, and number two is my second child born. Well, you remember who the second child was born. Don't get confused. And then you start talking about the children. We say, my third child. Now, that was the one who's really good at football. Okay, well, you know who your third child was, and everybody you're talking to knows who your third child was because he was born third. Well, I'm the state. I come along and say, well, coach, you know, your first child is number one, but your second child is 12. And your third child is 23. And your next child is...
Numbers 1, 12, and 23.
I'm adding 11 to each of your kids. So by the time you get down to five or six kids, you got 56 kids. As you say to me, coach, I don't have 56 kids. I got five. I said, well, according to us, you got 56 kids. Now, because we inserted somebody else's kids.
According to the algorithm, you now have 56 kids.
I have 50, because we inserted somebody else's kids in between your one and two. And by the way, some of the kids we inserted in there don't exist. We made them up. We gave them numbers. We made them up. And you won't know that we made them up because they look like they're real. You don't know you got 56 kids because we didn't tell you. You think you got five kids, and we've renumbered them all. So your kids are not any longer 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Your kids are now 1, 12, 23, 34, etc. Okay? And that's how we create space to put false records in. Okay? That's how we create space to put false. Now go down a little bit further on the page. Go down a little bit further. Okay. Did you hear me? We put false numbers in between. So the coach doesn't have 50, he's got six kids. We put other people between them. If I turn off my video to get more stable. So let me turn off my camera. Give me a little more bandwidth. That'll stay. So, yeah, I'm saying between the coach only has five or six kids, and so therefore, it looks like he's got 56 kids. We put other kids in between his kids, and some of those don't exist. Okay, and he doesn't know that we did this. We know we did this. Now go down a little bit further beyond below, just below that. Just keep going down. A little bit further. There's the cards in here. You see some deck stacking. Keep going down. Okay, now that we'll stop right there. Okay, now once I've created the false records, then I got to put them back into the deck so I know where they are and you don't know where they are. So let me use an example. Let's say I'm dealing in out cards. We're playing straight poker. And I'm in a casino, and I've got five players, but number three is my confederate. Yeah. And I'm going to give number three a royal flush. Okay, so you can see that my goal here is to, if you look at the first, you know, where the hearts and diamonds are, you see he's going to get the ace to 10 of hearts. Now, the other people are going to get pretty good hands, but they're not going to be a royal flush. So what I do is the third card is the ace. Then I deal the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh. The eighth card is the king of hearts. The 13th card in my deck is the queen of hearts. The next one's the jack and the 10. So I put the cards I want him to get where I know where they are in the deck. And if anybody else looks at the cards, it wouldn't look like they were sorted because you wouldn't know the order. You wouldn't know what I was doing. You just look, our cards would look random. But I know where they are and I can use them. So what I do is when I create these false votes, I put them in the deck with a unique identifier that I know where it is. I know it's this card in 20 million cards. I know card 20,173,094. That's a fake one.
This is going on in precincts all across America.
I believe it's going on all across America. Okay, and so now I know I've got, let's say, 300,000 fake votes that are really good. They're really, really good, so that they don't vary by very much. They're clones or they're, you know, but their registration dates are all screwed up. If you go back to the table we had a minute ago, I'll show you what happens. Go back a little bit further. Go back even more. That's right there. That would stop right there. See the third row here, the third where it says registration date sort?
On the right side.
The right side, last three columns. So I've got my registration dates in order there. See, they're chronological, 1911 through 1954. This is just a sample of ones that are there. But when you look at the county ID numbers and the state ID numbers, I've messed them all up. So they aren't in relationship to how they came in registered. That's key. I've renumbered the entire database to impose my scheme in order to create and hide false votes. Okay? Got it? It should be, and I know where my false votes are. You can't find them, and I can use them. Now, there's two ways I can use them. I can start the election going, and I can decide, well, Kamala needs some support here, so I can start using more of my fake write-in votes. I can start requesting them, making sure they run through the system, that their numbers are counted, I've got them certified. Okay, or I can, in fact, I can come to you before the election, and I can say, how do you want this to be? Do you want Kamala to win by 1%? Do you want her to win by 3%? Do you want her to win by 5%? Do you want her to win early in the day? Do you want it to become a late comeback? Do you want me to stop the election and we'll bring in new ballots that we find and she'll win overnight? How do you want this to look? And then I can run it in my computer that way. And that's how it'll show up. Because my computer's counts, not all the rest of it. Okay, this is where the fraud really occurs. Now, all the things people have been looking at, all the computers change votes, the Dominion computers change votes. Well, I'm an expert on voting. There's a reason sometimes they change votes. It's because the way the votes are reported, they've got to be adjusted. The truth is our voting system is a mess today. And it's such a mess. I think it's FUBAR. It's so messed up, it's beyond recovery.
So, Dr. Scorsese, they're right now telling us how much Kamala Harris is surging because they're preparing to throw these votes in there.
That's right. Excellent. Because, you see, what they've done is they decided that Biden, after that debate, was too far behind and nobody would believe the people voted for him. So they had to get rid of Biden. Now they bring Kamala and this guy, Walz. They got the two worst candidates that can be. Nobody likes either one of them, even the Democratic Party. Okay, but they are now gaslighting them. They're saying, well, Kamala is really coming on strong, and she's really got a great message. And some of the polls show she's winning over Trump. All a lie. but they're building the case that when they steal the election, it's credible. So in Europe, they did this. They said, you know, all the conservatives were winning to begin with, the first round of voting, Le Pen and the others in France. And then they did the real vote, the second vote, and they said the left surged. Well, I called up France and I called up Italy. I said, are there people surging in the polls? I said, Dr. Corsi, there's nobody in the polls. The surge is occurring in the computers. It's not happening in the polls. It's happening in the computers. Okay, so what we're doing is the Democrats are acting confident. In fact, they're so arrogant, they think that they could elect a dead guy, you know, a weekend at Bernie. The guy's dead, but they got him an AI. They think they can elect. So they're saying we can even elect Kamala Harris and this other guy who stole honor and has done all kinds of horrendous things in Minnesota. They're terrible candidates, but it doesn't matter because the vote doesn't matter anymore. What matters is we've got algorithms and we control the election and we have enough votes that we can vote no matter how they vote.
Okay, Dr. Corsi, we've got about 5 minutes here. I want to try to wrap this up. Dr. Corsi will join us again tomorrow, folks, by the way. And Randy, I'll get you in there in a second. Okay, Dr. Corsi, we get it. The algorithms are they're rigged. The whole thing's rigged. It's like going to Las Vegas cards. It's all rigged. Las Vegas, they know when the Queen of Hearts going to come out. They get it. The same thing's going on in our elections, yada, yada, yada. You have proof that this is going on.
We have proof, and we have proof that's in Ohio. In Ohio, for instance, in Marion County, which is by Toledo, they do it legitimately. You come in first, you get number one. They don't bother modifying that. But when you get over to the counties around Youngstown, which are heavily Democratic, all the votes show up in one quadrant of the graph, which can't possibly be unless they were mathematically altered. Mm. So we can show the Secretary of State that the way his voter rolls are could only be the artifact of algorithms. And once he understands the math of it, and we'll explain him the math of it, and he'll see it in the graphs, it's apparent, it's clear that the Ohio database is altered with algorithms. They've already cheated. They can steal Ohio, and they can also steal the down elections in Ohio.
Mm.
And they've probably been doing it for a long time. Okay?
Randy, come on in here real quickly, Randy.
Yeah, Coach, I got a question. I can hold it after the show, or it's legitimate, or I can ask. Is there a connection, Dr. Corsi, to Dominion voting systems and this cheating?
Well, is that a bait and switch?
It what happens is most of what you see in the Dominion systems is an artifact of all this. Okay, that's another question I want to address. It's important. You see, the Democrats wanted everybody to attack the 2020 election. The problem is this 2020 election was certified. Like I told you, they could certify these votes because they knew where they were. They could certify them. Now, if you attack a certified election, you're risking violating some laws because you're undermining election security. And so, therefore, Mike Lindell, I told Sidney Powell, whom I've known for years, I told Sidney, don't say you've got the Kraken. Because if you do that, they're going to charge you with a crime. You can't prove it because some of the things you're looking at could be artifacts of the real scheme that was in the Board of Election or just artifacts of the way the elections are screwy anyway. I mean, there's a lot of problems with the election. Everything everybody found out there, I'm going to pull together and I'm going to say we need to look at all these issues. They're all important issues. But again, from a legal point of view, I've got a very different argument. I'm not saying, I don't know, I'm going to say to the board, I don't know if these algorithms were ever used. Maybe they're never used. I don't know. But I know that they were created to be used and they were created to permit voter fraud. So I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I want discovery. I want to know. Mm. I want you as the Secretary of State not to let the people of Ohio vote when the system is rigged. That's your
folks, round two with Dr. Jerome Corsi tomorrow. Be here tomorrow. Have a friend tune in. We're going to get into the deeper part of this kind of stuff, folks. Man, oh man, if we do not wake up, we're going to be living in communist China, although we might already be there.
And God bless you, Dr. I think this, I'm going to be spending between now and the rest of the time before the election going from state to state and proving where the algorithms are.
Wow. Thank you, Dr. Corsi. Hang right in there with us, Dr. Corsi. God bless you, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. And don't forget the prayer vigil tonight at 8 o'clock. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
God bless.